Scattered showers and thunderstorms on Thursday afternoon with a high temperature in the upper 80s. Showers and storms are likely on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even Monday. Looks like some very beneficial rainfall, and boy, did we need it. Our weather app will keep you on top of all this weather action, so get it on your phone or tablet today. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Prime South Bank is here to give you more bang for your buck. You'll find the conveniences of digital tools, plus more ways to stretch your dollar than those big national banks. It's a great way to enjoy prime living. Visit them in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Happening today, the Alabama Supreme Court will hear arguments in former House Speaker Mike Hubbard's appeal of his conviction on ethics charges. Hubbard was convicted in 2016 of improperly receiving consulting contracts and business investments from company executives. Longtime Millbrook restaurant Smokehouse Barbecue closed its doors last week after its business license was revoked. Millbrook City officials say it was behind on sales tax payments, but the owner says she was working to pay what was owed. Smokehouse Barbecue had been open for over 25 years. And the Montgomery Police Department is hosting a Junior Police Academy this week. This teaches sixth graders about conflict resolution, how to prevent bullying, and how to resist gangs. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
They say that diamonds are a girl's best friend. You've heard that diamonds are forever. And if you've got a name, you could win a 1-carat Forever Mark diamond appraised at $10,000 from News Talk 93.1 and Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry. Winning is simple. You've got a name. Register online at our website, newstalk931.com. We'll call out names all week long. Hear your name called? You have the rest of that hour to call in and qualify. Make sure your friends and family are listening for your name, too. Call in for carats. A 1-carat Forever Mark diamond appraised at $10,000 and many more jewelry prizes from Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry and News Talk 93.1.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
And protests as President Trump visits England.
The president stirring up controversy, trading insults with London's mayor.
The president calling him a stone-cold loser.
Investigators in Virginia Beach are searching for a motive in Friday's mass shooting that left 12 people dead.
New antitrust investigations have been launched by the House Judiciary Committee and two federal agencies.
DOJ is going to handle Apple and Google while the FTC examines Facebook and Amazon.
The FAA warns hundreds of Boeing 737 planes may have faulty parts on their wings due to a supplier's manufacturing problem.
Rivers are rising in the central U.S. More rain is on the way.
An alarming revelation from the giant blood testing chain Quest Diagnostics. The company says personal information of nearly 12 million patients may have been exposed.
After his 32-day streak on Jeopardy, James Holzhauer's winnings, well, they come to an end.
What a game. Oh, my God. We're going to say goodbye to James, too.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday, 272-9228. Reminder, first-time callers, need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Then any caller can get in from the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Let's take some calls before we go to Charlotte Meadows, District 74 candidate. Rodney, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan, how are you today?
Very good, and you?
All right. Well, Joey, he's off the
bench. No, I'm
Joey's
here.
Joey's right here.
I'm shadowing. Oh. I'm standing over people's shoulders like, you know. Not creepy, though, by any means.
You remember the teacher, you know, you'd go in, the teacher would be looking over your shoulder to see if you're cheating? That's what Joey's doing.
Uh-oh.
And I just got a haircut, so I kind of look like a soccer mom, Rodney.
Joey, I don't like you.
You don't like me?
Yeah, the teacher caught me too many times. It brought back memories. But anyway, here, guys, look, it's pretty simple, all right? Just apply common sense to most things. The reason why these people are having hard times understanding people like Kerry and Obama and Hillary is because they were dealing with a bunch of pathetic idiots. They're not dealing with pathetic idiots no more. It's pretty clear to me that America's taking this roll call to the world. You know, there's some people else involved, other countries involved in some crap that went down. And I know you know that. I'm just saying it so the audience can hear this. And it's pretty clear with Merkel where they stand at over there with our president. And it's pretty clear when you look at some of these other individuals out there where they stand with our country. And so, guys, it's just one of those things that either you're with us or you ain't. And there's people out there that want to do nothing but harm to us and our country. And we just got to do what we got to do to stop them. Iran, I would advise them not to listen to none of them idiots. They're going to get themselves in trouble with our president. You know, I don't know, Dan. It's just amazing that these guys go over there. I think, you know, maybe the Hillary and the Clintons and the Kerrys and stuff owe something to these people. You know, maybe it's that. Maybe they're holding something over their head, these other countries.
Well, in the words of Emory Farmer, either you're with us or you're against us.
That's right. You're either in or you're out, buddy. You know, look, I'm too old, but I'm never too old to do what I need to do for my country. You know, and I put my life on the line still today for her. And, you know, it's coming down to that. Either you love this country or you don't, but we got enemies within. And God bless our president, our administration in Washington. And like Trump says, just when this stuff starts to get pretty rough and rumbly out there, just remember, it's because he's draining the swamp.
Rodney, thanks for the telephone call. Drive safe, my friend. Let me go to the phones. Let's go to Doug. Doug, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Dan, I don't want to steal from Miss Charlotte Meadows' time. I'll be quick. I want to be straight about a retired General Michael Flynn's legal status. He has not had a sentencing hearing. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. But he has been prosecuted. Is that correct?
He has pled guilty, which is different than being prosecuted.
Okay. Now, did he plead guilty because it was information that was discovered during the Mueller investigation?
He pled guilty to lying to an FBI agent.
Okay. But that had nothing to do with the Mueller investigation, or did it? It did not.
No, well, what happened is a team of FBI went over in January of 2017 to the White House, asked him questions, and he gave a false answer, plus he did not correctly fill out a form about doing services for a foreign country.
Okay. All right. Well, where I'm confused, and I don't like to mention other radio shows.
But we don't like you to. But go ahead.
I'm not going to. But I heard from a reliable source that this person hosting his show said it's very interesting that Mueller left so quick, because he's the one that determines General Flynn's destiny. And I'm confused about that, because I think that person might be confused. I don't think Mueller's got anything to do with General Flynn's sentencing, if he ever does go for a sentencing hearing.
No, he does have something to do with him, because he was cooperating with the Mueller team.
Oh, okay. Maybe there is a connection there.
No, there definitely is a connection, because this new release that just came out that the judge mandatorily made them release some documents about Flynn and his cooperation with Mueller. And what he did is he had a partner that he basically ratted out, who did the same thing that Podesta did, that Michael Flynn did. He didn't accurately report his dealings with the Ukraine.
Okay. Now I would like Dan Morris's opinion. What do you think is going to happen to retired General Flint as far as his legal issues or status or whatever? What's Dan's opinion?
I think what's going to happen is when they start releasing a lot of this stuff in the IG report and the foundation of a whole bunch of this, I think that Donald Trump will have grounds to pardon him.
That is exactly what I was hoping your opinion was. All right, well, I look forward to your pertinent and important questions to the candidate you got on. Enjoy your show, Dan.
Appreciate the telephone call. Let me bring in District 74 candidate, longtime friend of the show, personal friend, Charlotte Meadows.
Good morning, Dan. No, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Dan. You've been on the campaign trail too long, right?
We are booking.
So tell me how's it looking out there for you? You're winning the sign war, in my opinion.
I'm winning the sign war. I think I'm winning the Facebook ad war. Let me think. What we need to do is make sure all of our supporters go out on Tuesday, and then I'll win the campaign war. Because that's really the only thing that matters is people going out to vote. And you know, this is a special election, and people wake up, and it might be raining Tuesday, it could be really hot. We just want to make sure people exercise their constitutional rights to vote. Have you voted?
That's what happens with these special elections is the turnout is very, very low, and turnout numbers are very important.
I have it on good word that someone in the studio has a brother who has voted.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's good.
Good for Brother Will.
I like that.
Yeah.
So let's start out with, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. They may not know you as well as I do. They don't know you as well as I do.
Well, they probably don't know. I grew up in Montgomery, lived here most all my life, except for the 5 years Alan and I were in training. He was doing training, and we lived in Mobile for 3 and Denver for 2. Moved back here in 1991, started his allergy practice. Raised our 3 children here. We have 5 now because we have 2 that are married, and 3 of the 5 still live in Montgomery, which I'm really happy about. I've been involved in education now since about the early 2000s. You know, I was on the school board for 1 term from 2006 to 2012. When I finished that, I worked in education policy for a nonprofit education reform organization. And for the last 2 years, I've been working on starting a charter school in Montgomery. So there's a lot more to me than that, but I'm trying to not bore your listeners with all the details.
Please don't bore my listeners.
Very exciting
life.
So
education is kind of a mainstay with you.
Education has been a passion of mine for quite some time now. From a board level, from a policy level, and now from a really hands-on level.
What do you think about the governor wanting to appoint the state school board?
You know, I think that's probably a good idea. Education is too important to our state to continue to let us flounder at 50th and 51st.
I had one of your opponents in. I asked him this question. I'll ask you the same question, and that is, as if you are selected as a representative for District 74, what are your top priorities to do education-wise?
Well, I was going to say my top priority is education, but when you're asking about specifically about education, we really need to focus on making sure our teachers get resources and our teachers have the professional development to do what they need to do in the classroom. We have teachers that were trained many years ago that are still teaching, and nothing wrong with that because they have skills that younger teachers don't have. However, older teachers need to make sure that they get the professional development to be able to continue teaching with the students that we are bringing into the 21st classroom. And today's students do not sit still in a classroom the way we did 40 and 50 years ago.
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, they need to be entertained. I mean, the education needs to be something.
It's a microwave world and Xbox.
You know, that's the children that we're dealing with now. And I'm not, you know, we can maybe focus on having less, you know, what do we call these things? Digital appliances in their hands. And I think that might be a good thing. But on the other hand, we've got to make sure we keep those children engaged in their education. We got to start out getting them engaged as they go into, you know, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades. We've got to continue keeping them engaged. We've got to make sure they understand the relevance of what they're learning and how it applies to what they want to do in life.
So what does that look like legislatively?
I think it looks like making sure teachers have, we can legislate professional development be geared towards the individual needs of teachers. That's really not being done now. Everybody is required to get professional development we pay for everybody to get PD, but most people's professional development does not match the needs that they have for that for their school. And that's something that I think we could, I don't really know how we legislate it, we just mandate it.
Which is a type of legislation.
Well, the budget this year did, I think, a good job of moving more money into the classroom. We've got the biggest amount of teacher funds, $600 per teacher, I think, that we've ever had in this state. Not that that's going to cover all the expenses, but it is a start towards making sure that the supplies that teachers pay for.
I asked you this the last time you were here. We use a one-size-fits-all method of legislation here. When you look at our education system from the state level, it's, they treat Madison County and Montgomery County identical, and they both have different situations and different problems. Would you try to do anything to address that?
I do think that's something, if we get a state school board who is adept at looking at the needs of the state, that they should work on an equity system to make sure that every school system is equitably funded. That doesn't mean they're equally funded. That means they all get something that meets the needs of the students equally. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, but okay. It sounds like all of a sudden you're going to have a whole lot more problems so you can get more funding.
No, I don't expect... Well, I wouldn't have more problems. Are you saying that you think people would manufacture problems?
Yeah, I think that somebody goes, boy, we got a real problem here, and we need more money for this.
The problem should be defined based on the student achievement in each school system. I mean, if you look at, you know, their achievement is here, and say this Apple school system up in wherever, North Alabama, I'm just pulling the apple out of the air, but if they have students that are achieving on high levels, then we might want to focus our tax dollars on the students in the schools that are achieving on lower levels.
Would you put an emphasis on long-distance learning?
I don't think that's a bad idea. I think that is something that parents have to choose. I mean, are you talking about a virtual learning? Or
virtual learning, long-distance, where you're doing it online, the pair system and things like that?
I think those are good programs. Parents, I would be cautious about allowing that in younger grades and having parents, you know, sit their kids at home in front of a computer, because I'm not sure how much education would happen in that. But as students are older, I think the virtual learning is an I mean, my son did virtual learning from BTW. I mean, he got dual enrollment credit.
It is really it's impressive
really
what you can
program,
do now.
It's a really good program if done correctly.
Yeah. You can go on, for example, Hillsdale College, a very
right.
famous conservative school.
I've taken some of their online classes.
Exactly. And they are outstanding. If you want to get a background in American history, Hillsdale is second to none.
Right. Oh, I agree.
And the way they present it is just, I mean, you have a speaker, and then they have the paintings from the Capitol and things like that.
And those are things that are virtually free.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They sometimes
Duke
ask
does
for
the same
a
thing.
Donation, but I mean, that could be free to our high school students who are wanting to learn more about the U.S. Constitution. We could have a history teacher that brings that in. There's a lot that could be said for virtual learning, and really,
and it's so much. It's back to what you're talking about. It's entertaining.
And that's what I don't really mean to say that we've got to entertain the kids, but we do have to keep them engaged.
Well,
and they're so used to doing something in a digital world with pictures in front of them that sitting in a classroom with a textbook and a teacher in front of a blackboard is not going to do the trick anymore.
Absolutely. And they're so you can pass so much. It's like this show. We're a combination of entertainment and information. We're information first, but we do it in an entertaining
way.
In an entertaining way, because it's much more digestible. At that time, if I just sit and talk about crap I talk about all the time, people go, turn him off. But we try to do it because I have a great producer and an entertaining.
Yes, you do.
Way. Newstalk 93.1 FM. Demo show. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
You get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hyundai has modernized the car shopping experience. Finally. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Look, isn't it about time someone took car shopping to the 21st century? Like the Hyundai Shopper Assurance Program. They're the first in the game, and they're doing it right. They streamline the purchase, saving you time, energy, and stress. You know, all the small things that make a big difference. Transparent pricing, flexible test drives, the works. Hyundai Shopper Assurance. Available at participating dealerships. Test drive subject to availability. Visit HyundaiUSA.com/shopper assurance for more details.
Alabama is a state deeply rooted in military tradition, and we at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make each and every day. I'm Kim Williams, and I'm here to tell you there is a difference in mortgage companies. Don't be fooled by mortgage companies with veteran in their name. Call the mortgage company with veterans in their blood. The entire Alabama Home Mortgage staff are children of military veterans. We understand what it means to serve. If you're looking for a VA loan, call Alabama Home Mortgage 567-4223. With a VA loan, there's no money out of pocket. 100% financing. There's simply nothing better than a VA mortgage loan. Ella, tell them what to do.
Call my mom, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. That's 567-4223.
That's right. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get your VA home loan today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228 is where we are. And George Will is out trying to regain his conservative credentials. Good luck with that, George. He messed up when he got tangled up with George Stephanopoulos, and he would say some of the most ridiculous things on his show on Sunday, which is why he's no longer there, by the way. The liberals hated him and the conservatives hated him. In the studio with us is Charlotte Meadows, question, comment, viewpoint, 272-9228. She's candidate for District 74 in State House seat. What is some of the other, when you go around and knock on doors and talk to people, what are the people telling you that they're concerned about?
You know, up until this last week, I was getting some questions pretty regularly about the lottery and how I'd vote on the lottery.
Where are you in the lottery?
I do believe that the people, it's probably time. It's been 19 years since we voted on it, and I'd be willing to allow the people to vote on the lottery. The question then is, okay, which lottery bills?
So, there you go. Are you for anything that has electronics in it?
You know, I don't particularly draw a line between, I mean, it's kind of like there's shades of gray. And paper lottery, electronic lottery, I'm not sure that
I can help you out with that if you'd like. What happens is that Victory Land, if you have an electronic component to it, can take their, quote, machines, their bingo machines,
right,
and turn them into lottery machines, which is going to basically legalize them, which, if you talk to the Attorney General, he doesn't believe that they're legal right now.
But if the legislature voted that they were legal, then they would be. Is that correct?
If you voted for this bill and said that established bingo bingo establishments could have an electronic lottery, they would instantly say that that's an electronic lottery machine, and they would be legal.
So it seems to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me like the...
You think I would do that?
I do. I hope you would. That by making electronic lottery not legal, we are prioritizing Porch Creek Indian gaming facilities or giving them a somewhat of an advantage.
They've got the advantage no matter what. They're legal, and it's a question whether the others are or not. The other question is, if you do a lottery, do you make the Porch Creek Indians facilities open for Class C gaming, which is full table games, blackjack, roulette, Texas Hold'em, the whole nine yards?
Well, I don't personally gamble, like, ever. Even if, I mean, we went to Las Vegas one time and Alan put $6 in pennies on a machine because we were standing in the area waiting for an Auburn game to be over before we could go eat. So we had to do something with our time and had to, anyway, so he won with pennies on the bandit machine, the one-armed bandit.
One-armed bandits, okay.
But it's just really not something that, you know, if I'm going to be using my money on entertainment, I'm going to use it on something that is more memorable than just a... You know,
putting your money into a machine.
Yeah, much more memorable. Movies, shows,
or into a lottery ticket. Where are you on medical marijuana?
That's another one that...
Are you hearing a lot about that?
Alan and I have been talking about it a good bit lately.
By the way, her husband is a physician.
And that is something that... I mean, I know
this... Very good one, by the way.
He is a very good physician. The CBD oil that's been approved and that's legal... seems to be helping a lot of people. So I don't know that medical marijuana would add anything to that.
So you think what we're doing now is adequate?
That's my impression. And I haven't been approached by anybody who's asked me to support medical marijuana. Don't want to give out my phone number after that statement. But that is, I mean, I'm not sure that medical marijuana needs to be legalized in Alabama at this point. If it does, then I'm happy to talk to people who don't feel like what we've got in place is already enough to take care of the problems for people who need it medically.
Okay. What? Where are you on the possibly joining the unification of a budget where we have a education trust fund and a general fund budget that's unifying those budgets, but leaving floors for education in the ETF?
That is something that we've been hearing about for quite some time now. It does seem to be gaining steam. The difficulty would be, and actually, I mean, the difficulty is in Alabama, we have a tax base that's pretty low in general. And so the ETF always demands what it's always had because education is, you know, supposedly important to most people. I would want to make sure that we don't combine the... I would be amenable to talking to about combining the budgets, but I'd want to make sure that, like you said, we do have some type of floor and something in place to make sure that the vast needs of both the general fund and the education fund are combined so that there's growth taxes going towards both.
272-9228, Toilet Meadows candidate for District 74 in the House. Question, comments, viewpoint. Come back when I ask her about the gasoline tax.
And
right
not
after
earmarked.
This.
And not earmarked.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on, tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
To liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses right here in Montgomery? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. you'll be introduced to our three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Stan Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Montgomery area who want to learn how to get started making money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Montgomery is a perfect market for my system, and this week, I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where we'll share how to get started making money flipping houses and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000 right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Next up, for President Trump and the First Lady in London, dinner with Prince Charles and Duchess Camilla at the U.S. Ambassador's residence. The president met with the outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May today.
On trade, Prime Minister May said she remains hopeful about an ambitious agreement.
From our positive discussions today, I know that we both remain committed to this.
Crafting a lasting trade deal is complicated by the U.K.'s ongoing divorce from the European Union.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. Two former members of the Trump administration, Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson, are told by the White House to defy subpoenas and withhold records from Congress.
Hicks has agreed to turn over some documents related to her time with the Trump campaign. Donaldson was a deputy White House counsel. Hicks served as communications director. Hicks is now an executive vice president for Fox Corporation, the parent company of Fox News.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The Maine legislature passes a bill to legalize assisted suicide. Six other states allow it. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits, good home time, and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Another sizzling hot day today, but hang on. Weather changes on the way with better rain chances later in the week and also somewhat cooler temperatures, too. Abundant sunshine today. Another hot day. We had 98 yesterday. We're looking for 97 today. Partly cloudy tonight. Overnight low 72. Tomorrow's high in the middle 90s with widely scattered storms possible in the afternoon and evening hours. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms on Thursday afternoon with a high temperature in the upper 80s. Showers and storms are likely on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even Monday. Looks like some very beneficial rainfall, and boy, did we need it. Our weather app will keep you on top of all this weather action, so get it on your phone or tablet today. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Now at Nukes, the express market with freshly prepared goodness meals to go. Grab-and-go proteins and house-made sauces. Pick up anytime or place order on the Nukes app for curbside delivery. You'll be the hero at your next dinner. Nukes, 7880 Vaughn Road.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Charlotte Meadows, candidate for District 74 in the House. Question coming in, B-Boy. Well, you better call. This is an important election, and this is a seat that if you go through and look at it, this was the former Jay Love seat, who did an excellent job in his role, and then Dimitri came in after Jay decided not to seek re-election. And it's very, strategically, it's a very important seat. It needs to stay within the conservative circles.
I agree with you, Dan, and it's also the district that's the closest to the state house without being in the state house. So we should have somebody who's very accessible, somebody who's very available to talk to the constituents and make sure that the voices of the
if
people
If you win, will you come in and be on the show on a regular basis, particularly legislative roundtable?
As much as you want me to.
I like that. We do that.
I like coming in, Dan. Y'all are so nice to me.
I know. We'll put you on the rotation. Let's go to the phones and go to Doug. Doug, you have a question for Charlotte Meadows?
I do. I'm going to be real quick. Ms. Meadows, I wanted to talk to you about federal funding in education. I'm going to be brief. I've got a second grader granddaughter, so this is not hearsay. I was helping her do math, and the math we were working on was rounding numbers to the nearest whole number.
Right.
And so she told me Papa Douglas for you to understand this, if the number to the right is odd, you round down. If it's even, you round up. So we got to 3.9, and I said, okay, that's 3.0. Do you believe that? She says, yes. I said, can I go to the bank and borrow 3.9 million and pay back 3? She laughed. She said, no. I said, darling, you just got to learn how to play the game. This is fake math. She said, but Mr. Papa Douglas, you taught me that we don't play games. The only game we play is life. We don't deal with fake numbers and fake people. I said, you have to deal with fake numbers and fake people. Miss Meadows, why is that happening in the state? Why is that happening?
Well, that's, I mean, second grade doesn't even, I'm surprised they're learning rounding that early, actually, but I'm hoping that's not part of Common Core.
Do you think it is? They don't call it that. But
well,
now,
it's called Alabama College and Career Readiness Standards. That's just not accurate.
I'd have a conversation with their teacher.
I was going to say, I think I'd be saying something to the teacher and then to the principal, because everybody, I mean, you know, we haven't changed how to round.
Yeah. 9 and 7 do not round to 0.
They round up, not down.
Everything above. So, yeah, like 5. I don't know what point five does.
I mean, is it possible your granddaughter was confused?
Well, she's AB honor roll. There's no way she's confused. Because she was sent with instructions by her mother the next day to question it to the teacher. And the teacher, she got 100 on the homework assignment.
Yeah, I'd be making an appointment to talk to the teacher.
Okay.
Me too.
All right, real quick. I know you don't know this number, but I would love for y'all as a body, if you get elected and become a member of that distinguished body, to look at one number. Federal funding to the state of Alabama earmarked education. How in the world can we replace it and do like Texas did? They gave Common Core the middle finger years ago.
Well, so much of the funding nowadays isn't, I mean, we get a lot of funding from the federal government for everything under the sun that has nothing to do with Common Core or College and Career Readiness Standards. And if we were to give up that funding, I mean, we can give up Common Core. We can do away with it by constitutional amendment next spring, I think in March. And that's tied to the constitutional amendment with the appointing the state school board.
If we can constitutionally completely get rid of Common Core and still get the federal funding, then to me that's a win-win, and I hope y'all will work on that.
Did the governor sign that bill? I think she did.
That's awesome.
I think that bill's been signed. I know that it came through the Senate and the House last week, so if it hasn't been signed, it's on her desk.
Ma'am, I will try and help influence a lot of my friends and peers in your district. I'm in Mike Holmes's district.
Oh, well.
But I'll help you indirectly.
My parents are in that district. It's a good district. He's a great representative.
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all for taking my call. Ma'am, thank you for taking my question.
Thanks for calling, Doug. Appreciate it. Where were you in the gas tax?
You know, Dan, a couple things about the gas tax, and I am going to answer the question with a yes, but I do want to make a point, because a couple reasons why I supported the gas tax. One, I heard that the money that comes into our state on gas taxes, 42% of it comes from truckers who are driving through Alabama. Another 20% comes from tourists who are driving through Alabama. So only about 38% of the money that goes to pay gas taxes is from Alabamians. So that tells
me...
Who
told you that?
I heard that from, I believe, API.
Because I asked a question of two people that would know. They said 34% comes from people that are not residents of the state of Alabama.
Well, I talked to the Truckers Association, and he agreed with me that 42 was about a... I mean, I think he agreed with me that around 40% was coming from truckers, and they were supporting the gas tax because they know how bad the roads affect not only their commerce and their
Now 40% of all the fuel that is purchased in Alabama is not going into trucks. And the way you know that is just go to any gas station and see what percentage of that are trucks versus cars.
The point is that a lot of the gas tax comes from people outside of Alabama. And so just like...
I just wouldn't overstate it. I mean, the number I was told by the person who put the bill together, they told me 34% sitting in that chair right there.
Okay, well, that's probably a better number. But either way,
who was the guy?
We're getting more bang for the buck for the people in Alabama than what we're paying. And in addition to that...
Not if it's 34%.
Well, Dan, if you've got, you're not the person that I'm going to start arguing numbers with. I am not that dumb.
There we go.
So anyway, but I was supporting the gas tax because I use the roads. I travel a lot. We're all going to benefit from the increase in the renovation of the port in Mobile. That's going to bring renewed commerce and increased economic development to the whole state, all the way up and down the rivers. I just think that, you know, when you want a good economy, sometimes you have to pay to get what you need. And we need better roads. We don't need to have people dying in road accidents because a road was not well made or because it's not been maintained. I mean, you can't put a price on lives, but you can say that if you can improve the roads, that we can all benefit from it. So I would have voted yes on the gas tax. I also appreciated what Senator Chambliss did to put more accountability into the system for the state to have Department of Transportation look at everything that they do every year and then post it and say what they're going to do next year.
Yeah, my problem was not the fact that we had a gas tax. My problem was the way it was done. They didn't explain it. And I had legislators in here, and it was like, hide the ball.
Always a problem. And, you know, one of the strongly held beliefs that I have personally, and I got this several years ago, is that I believe the public has a right to know what's going on. And I believe that if I'm elected, that it's part of my specific duty to make sure that I understand it, and then that I can explain it in a way that makes sense to the public.
Like that.
So that's just something about
me. I mean, and that's our biggest problem, is that legislators by and large are scared to talk to the public at a certain level, because I mean, I had a legislator here say, well, if we would have done that, then they would have said no. I said, well, so if you tell them the truth, they would have said no, then is there something wrong with that picture type of thing?
I think there is, and I personally would not be that person if I were sitting here. I'd be trying to say, this is what they're trying to do, this is what we're trying to do if I'm a legislator, and then explain the reasoning behind it. I mean, there are reasons to do things, and there are bad reasons sometimes, sometimes good reasons.
Yeah, hiding the ball legislatively, to me, is never the answer. Let's talk about prison system. How severe do you think the prison system issue is in Alabama? What do you think we need to do about it? Are you willing to spend gobs of money to build a new prison system?
It would be gobs of money. You know,
or they could stay at your house.
I was going to say, well, they probably can't stay at my house. That's not an option.
You have bedrooms open. I happen to know that.
We do have bedrooms open. You're right. And we have people in them pretty regularly right now. We do have a problem in the prison system, if you can believe anything close to what you read in the paper. I've not visited the prisons. I told a group last night that if I'm in the legislature, I would want to go to at least one prison. And somebody said that's not a good idea, but I'm a hands-on learner.
I'd be delighted to arrange that for you.
I know it's not a pleasant thing, but it is something that if you're going to be trying to fix a problem, and that is...
You need to know what
the problem is. You need to see it firsthand and not just take the word of, you know, the entire Department of Corrections or whoever, because people should be treated humanely. And I'm not saying we need to treat them well. I'm saying humanely. And some of the things I've read in the paper, it is inhumane and not where you'd want anybody's family member to be in a situation like that.
Under the willful neglect concept, that they're willfully neglecting the prisoners, and so therefore they're not protecting them from their prison population?
I mean, we've heard about people who have committed suicide. We've heard about guards who've been killed. Those aren't just tall tales. Those are things that have actually happened, and they have to be happening for a reason. And most likely is because the population is not well guarded, I guess, for lack of a better word. I don't know what word they would use. But there's got to be a way to keep prisoners safe when they're in prison, and to keep the wardens and the people that work in our correction system from being harmed while they're at work.
And, I hate it when that happens.
I mean, it's, you know, that's almost, to me, it's as bad as a police officer being shot on duty.
So are you for the Robert Bentley plan, where he's talking about three mega prisons in North, Central, and South Alabama that have a core that is basically built around the toughest, worst criminals. And as you go out from the core, the offenders get lighter or less?
I mean, My understanding, the argument against that is that all the local, basically local areas that have smaller prisons would lose out financially because they no longer have a pretty good system or pretty good
money
employer
issue,
in their area. So I would want to look at the cost of the building three big prisons and the loss to the other, you know, however many areas, dozens of areas in the state, and weigh the balance. I mean, balance it out. Not saying we can balance it out, but I'd want to see what the difference is and if we're, how much money we're going to save by having three prisons versus however many there are.
20-some odd. So if we need to spend...
Economies of scale usually works.
If we have a problem, is it worth $500 million to solve it? And where would you come up with the money?
Well, I'm not sure where we come up with the money, but if we're going to if we're about to go into a federal takeover situation, $500 million is better than $900 million or a billion or whatever the federal government. Anything that the federal government would make us do, I would think would be much more expensive and much more costly and probably less efficient than something we could do on our own. And so I would think that we would be much better off coming up with our own solution rather than waiting for the federal government to take over.
Well, there are kind of two components of the federal takeover. One is a mental health component.
And that is a big problem.
That is with a lot
of the state, not just prisons.
Oh, yeah. Our mental health and shootings are one and the same here. I think we woefully underfund mental health. And we're not taking a proactive stance at all. Let me do this. Let me bring John in. John, you have a comment for Charlotte Meadows?
Yes, and one thing that I think that a lot of people should understand about the prison system in Alabama, that it is completely outdated. The biggest problems, I know you were just talking about the violence and suicide, et cetera, it's because you stack human beings upon human beings upon human beings, and before you know it, I say this to you, ma'am, as a person running for office in the state, and if you have a vote on helping the situation, I have a family member that is there, and when I go to that facility, from the outside, it looks what it is, but from the inside, ma'am, if you've never been and you're going to be elected to an office, I would pray to God that you would go in there and not just take the nickel tour with a couple of prison guards showing you offices and recreational areas that they have put aside. Ma'am, you should walk into the middle of that general population. Now, I'm not talking about being unsafe now, but walk through it and see the way they're stacked. This would be something in another country you'd be calling a civil rights violation.
I understand.
John, do you mind me asking what facility you have a family member in?
Excuse me?
Do you mind me asking you what facility you have a family member in?
I have the member in Atmore.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
And I can tell you this, and this comes from many people that, and unfortunately, you know, you'll have a family member that falls by the wayside. They're paying the price to society. I'm not saying we shouldn't have prison, but the point is when you see or when you hear even firsthand how awful this situation is, and it's not just a person telling you, look at the reports, look at the national media, the embarrassment that the state of Alabama has in treating human beings. Now, one quick thing before you cut me off. What's wrong with prison camps for nonviolent offenders to build up the room? You know, if someone's in there for a white-collar crime, if it's a federal crime, he's playing tennis at the Air Force Base in Montgomery. Why can't we have something like that? What's this low-risk situation for the state of Alabama to have some people in there not mixing in with people that will literally cut your throat just for laughs and giggles.
Right. I agree. The prison population is in dire straits. I think one of the solutions is to make sure that our prisoners are offered the ability to get a GED and then go on and get 2-year and 4-year degrees while they're in prison. I know Ingram State has that program that's available. I don't know how well it's used or how much it's used, but it is something that if we don't rehabilitate and make sure that when prisoners are able to get out of what their time has been served, then we want to make, I mean, then we're not doing them any good by releasing them when their time is up.
No, ma'am, and I'm going to say this to you. What you are creating is you're creating a, if it's a 5-year or a 10-year sentence, you're giving a person a 5 to 10 year degree to learn how to be more of a criminal. I'm sorry. That's just the way reality is. In the state of Alabama, if you get in office and if you get into the state house, you should champion something like this, particularly that your husband's a physician, and I commend him for that. Thank you so much, and I really hope that not just you, but many others finally wake up and decide, listen, if it was your son in there who committed a hideous crime, you still wouldn't want to see him stacked upon what is just really, literally, human waste. And I'm not talking about waste as far as that. I'm talking about lives being waste. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. I absolutely agree with him. I've been through seven different facilities, and I worked in prison ministry for 2 decades.
Well, I would expect that the legislature does something this year to help begin to solve these problems.
Well,
every person
that goes into prison, you change the concept of lock them up and throw away the key and burn their eyes out, changes. It really changes. It's a pretty rough place. This is on 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We'll be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Last segment with Sean Meadows, candidate, District 74.
Like the music.
Oh, thank you.
I got the best producer in the world.
I know that.
Let's go to the phones and let's go to Cooper. Cooper, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Charlotte Meadows.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks, Dan. Ms. Meadows,
yes.
What's your position on the lottery?
No, we just went over that.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I missed it.
I would be in favor of allowing the people to vote on a lottery. It's been 19 years since we had one. I feel like we are losing money to other states, particularly in the border cities and towns. But I also know that the lottery is really not a good way to fund government. So I'd hope that the money for a lottery would be specified to go specifically going to something that is not a drastic need, but actually a want. So maybe have lottery money go to pay for college scholarships for students who are in need or something to that effect, or certainly to pay off debt that the state
has. How about to build new prisons?
Well, and that would be something that would be a need. So I would hope that we would fund that out of money that would not go away, as because the longer a lottery stays around, the less likely it is to have increasing revenue. So if we could start out funding prisons with the lottery, but it wouldn't be a ongoing, continuing way to do that. I don't think.
Well, I don't know a lot about you, but the previous caller made some excellent points, and I was really disappointed in your answer of what we need to do is get these people GEDs. It's much more serious than getting them GEDs. But
right, and I did
if you get
not
in,
just
I
a GED, but they would that we need to make sure that when they leave prison, they have a viable career opportunity. GED and then a 2-year and then a 4-year degree. But obviously, the problems inside the prison are something that needs to be dealt with now, and not when they get out. I mean, that's a crisis,
well,
in my opinion. It's a crisis.
Yeah, and if you are successful in your campaign, I sure hope you're able to do something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cooper. Appreciate it. News 93.1 FM. How do people get in contact with your campaign?
You know, we have a Facebook page at charlottemeadows.org. No, I'm sorry. Meadows for District 74 is the Facebook page. We have a website, charlottemeadows.org. Either one of those, you can send a message.
How'd you do .org versus .com?
Because .com was not available. You know, Dan, I do think this is an important election. I'm focused on education, but also because education will decrease crime. It will improve economic growth in this area. If we can just get our children so they stay in school and get a degree that's worth something when they graduate from high school, then the juvenile crime will start to go down quickly. This is not a quick fix solution, but if we can actually engage students in school, keep them in school, keep them learning to the point where they graduate from high school with ability to go and get a job or go on to college, that will start to solve a lot of our problems and bring businesses back to Montgomery, which is desperately needed.
If there's one reason people should vote for you, what is that one reason?
I do what I say I'm going to do.
I'll attest to that completely.
So if you just want one reason, that's my one reason.
That's good. Yeah, you definitely do that. Another thing that you do a very good job is you listen to people. And you give them an opportunity to talk to you. Not a lot of people do that.
Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. We've known each other for a lot of years. Charlotte, thanks for being here today. Good luck with the... Is it going to rain on Tuesday?
It's supposed to start raining Thursday and go all the way till next Wednesday, I think. But who knows? You know, that's just the weather forecast.
There you go.
Please do go out and vote on June 11th.
Thank you, Charlotte. News 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We'll be back. Final hour after our top of the hour break.
The Dan Moore Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.